Welcome back, everyone, to the Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org, or you can just go to the main page at www.remnantofgod.org and click the Contact Us link on the main page. If you would like copies of today's program, click the antique radios on the main page of the website, surf to the archives from that page, or you can simply go to the audio section of the main menu and click the archives link directly from there. You can listen online past programs, download MP3s, or you can just order CDs if you want. All right, let's get to back to what we were doing right before the break. As I was stating, you know, I just to give a quick summary for those who are just tuning in, I went over two of the three main features of a prophetic event that's happening in our lifetime. Revelation 13:3 speaks of, I saw the one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So, feature number one of the prophecy is the beast is going to be wounded. We went through that. We showed how prophecy matches up with historic events. The next feature, of course, was that the wound would begin to be healed, and it would eventually become totally healed. We just discussed that, how the it is already beginning to be healed as we speak. They even use that kind of terminology in the San Francisco Chronicle to announce that the Vatican was once again a church and state. And now we're on the third section of the prophecy that says all the world will wonder after the beast. Now, before sharing the fulfillment of this prophecy, let me first share with you what most Christian denominations on earth thought of the papacy not too many years ago. The reason I am led to do this is to make it painfully clear that this beast was in fact known by all, except for the Catholics, of course, to be the prophesied whore of Babylon and the house of Antichrist. In fact, the whole first half hour of this broadcast was about setting up to this point, because you have to understand that information to understand what's going on now. After we go over that, I would like to share with you a few quotes out of, there's a lot, but I can't share them all. I'm just going to hunt and peck right through them and just give you some of them. I will have them all listed online. There will be links on the newsletter that's coming out in a couple of days, to where if you click it, you'll see all the quotes right there, as big as life, from people all around the world, from the religious leaders to the just regular national leaders. That's more or less what I'll do after I get through this section. And by the way, not just the churches are declaring the Pope and his office holy. Every government on earth is doing it now. So before sharing these comments, see what the founders, before sharing those comments about those what's happening now, I want you to hear what the Christian denominations or the founders of the Christian denomination said about the Pope of Rome not too long ago. For example, John Wycliffe said, when the Western Church was divided for about 40 years between two rival popes, one in Rome and the other in Avignon, France, each pope called the other pope Antichrist. And John Wycliffe is reputed to have regarded them as both being right, two halves of Antichrist making up the perfect man of sin between them. Martin Luther said, we hear of the conviction that the papacy is the seat of the true and real Antichrist. John Wesley, the Methodist Church, the founder, says, speaking of the papacy, he is in emphatical sense the man of sin, as he increases all manner of sin above measure. Of course, I'm not giving the entire quotes here because of the sake of time. So, Ellen White, the Seventh-day Adventist, said, this compromise between paganism and Christianity resulted in the development of the man of sin, foretold in prophecy as opposing and exalting himself above God. Thomas Cranor of the Anglican Church said, whereof it followeth Rome to be the seat of Antichrist, and the Pope to be the very Antichrist himself. Roger Williams, he was the first Baptist pastor in America. He says, he spoke of the Pope as the pretended vicar of Christ on earth, who sits as God over the temple of God, exalting himself not only above all that is called God, but over the souls and the consciences of all vassals, yea, over the Spirit of Christ, over the Holy Spirit, yea, and God himself, speaking against the God of heaven, thinking to change times and laws, but he is a son of perdition. Okay, that's all one sentence. John Knox, the Presbyterian religion, said that he wrote about the to abolish that tyranny which the Pope himself has for so many ages exercised over the Church, and the Pope should be recognized as the very Antichrist and the son of perdition of whom Paul speaks. Of course, he's speaking of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then John Calvin, from the another aspect of the Presbyterian, or another leader of the Presbyterian Church, says, some persons think us too severe and censorious when we call the Roman Pontiff Antichrist. But those who are of this opinion do not consider that they bring the same charges of presumption against Paul himself, after whom we speak and whose language we adopt. I shall briefly show that Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 are not capable of any other interpretation than that which applies to the papacy. Okay? So that's just a few. Like I said, that's not all of them. There are a lot of quotes from all these different denominations, and there is a link on my next newsletter. You can just go to the, I believe it's in the prophecy section of the website where it says they called him Antichrist. You can go to that page too. It's just got them all listed there. I mean, there are a lot of them in there. So like I said earlier, the prophecy of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 declared the son of perdition would be revealed. And here we see he has been pointed out rather clearly. And again, check out the site for those additional quotes. Now, according to Revelation 13:3, after the wound is administered and then begins to heal, all the world will wonder after the beast. Are they changing their tune? Are those denominations that once called the papacy an evil entity and the house of Satan calling it blessed in the house of God, can prophecy be that accurate again? Well, from the Zenit organization on April 9th, 2005, I have some quotes. The headline reads, "What Church Leaders Say About the Pope." And it goes on to say that throughout the week, praise for the person of John Paul II came from many corners, including the political realm. Below is a sampling of what the world said about the late Pope. Now, these, I'm just going to give you a few. Again, this is not all of them. Of some religious leaders first. Billy Graham said, "Pope John Paul was unquestionably the most influential voice for morality and peace in the world during the last 100 years. Okay, if you read some Time magazine articles about Billy Graham, about him calling the Pope a man of God and indeed a man with the Holy Spirit, you need to do some research on that to find those quotes as well. I got some on the website. Mark Hansen, president of the Lutheran World Federation, said, "Lutherans will always remember John Paul II as the Pope who fostered an unprecedented growth in Lutheran Roman Catholic relations, healing the wounds laid bare during the 16th century Reformation." In other words, they're saying the Reformation was a joke. It was useless. We got to get rid of it. Because that's what happened when their Doctrine of Justification was signed in 1999. On October 31st, the day that Martin Luther put up his 95 thesis on the door. Richard Land, president of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, also had high praise for the Pope. The Reverend Frank Griswold, leader of the U.S. Episcopal Church, also had high praise for the Pope. And by the way, again, this isn't all of them, but it wasn't just Christian denominations that were proclaiming their acceptance of the Pope. Listen to the following non-Christian faiths that proclaim the papacy a holy and blessed entity. Okay? It's not just Christians Christian-like denominations. Gregorius III, Lehem, of the Greek Patriarchs of Damascus, had high praise for the Pope. The Dalai Lama had high praise for the Pope. The Patriarch Alexei II, leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, spoke highly of the Pope. The Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I, who was the spiritual leader of the world's Orthodox Christians, spoke very highly of the Pope. Pope Shenandoah, Shenoda of the Third of the Coptic Church, he also had high praise. I mean, I'm not reading all the quotes here, for the main reason is there's so many of them. And by the way, it has gotten so popular and globally accepted that the popes are considered to be godly men now that if you speak out against them on the air, you will be dealt with quite severely. Notice this article that just came out. Headline: Talk show host fired over Pope question on Friday, April 15, 2005, the Associated Press reporting out of Pittsburgh. It says an evangelical Christian talk show host who questioned the beliefs of the Catholic Church and entertained a caller's question about whether the late Pope John Paul II would go to heaven has been fired. Marty Minto, who's 39 years old, a senior pastor at a Newcastle church, was fired Friday after 3 years as a host of Word FM. That's WORD-FM in Pittsburgh. He said he was told that he was alienating listeners. As far as I'm concerned, I was doing what I've always done on the radio. Look at the events around the world from a biblical perspective. I've always been willing to talk about controversial subjects, said Minto, who has had shows in Albany, New York, Denver, and Phoenix. Last week, Minto questioned some of the Catholic Church's beliefs, such as purgatory, and fielded a question from a caller who asked whether the Pope would go to heaven. Many evangelical Christians believe that someone must be born again believer to enter heaven. You know, this kind of reminds me of that radio announcer that was gunned down in Costa Rica on his front lawn for making comments about the Vatican. That happened back in July of 2001. You know, it's obvious in this recent article that this pastor tried to be as vague as possible when answering the question regarding the Pope's eternal reward. Reason being is, no man can judge another man's heart. But we must also understand what Jesus meant when he said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." One thing's for sure, Word FM is not one that likes to share all the facts with their listeners. How does one alienate a listener by the statement this pastor made? It seems to me that Word FM is Roman Catholic, possibly. I mean, why else would they get so upset about such a vague statement? It boggles the mind here. Well, getting back on track, of course, all the churches, whether they be Christian or not, would not be considered all the world, would it? What are the people outside the immediate church community? The prophecy said all the world will wonder after the beast, so we need to take a look at the rest of the world to see what they think. So what do the world leaders say about the Pope? For example, you know, John Paul II when he died. Because we'll get to Ratzinger in a minute here. Headline, what world leaders say about John Paul II. This is from Zenit Organization again on April 9th. And they've got the president of Italy, Carlo Chiampi. He said that he has transmitted hope and fidelity to all of us. He has been a true apostle for peace in the whole world. The president of Poland said, a great pope, our most outstanding fellow countryman, the Holy Father, a good father to all of us, believers and non-believers, following of different religions, is no more. George W. Bush, President of the United States, says Pope John Paul II was himself an inspiration to millions of Americans and to so many more throughout the world. We will always remember the humble, wise, and fearless priest who became one of history's great moral leaders. We're grateful to God for sending us such a man, a son of Poland, who became the Bishop of Rome and a hero for the ages. This is from Born Again, George W. Bush, by the way. You got the German Chancellor. You got Lech Walesa, the Solidarity Leader of Poland. He's the Polish, or the former Polish President. You got the Premier of Israel. And you got the Palestinian Leader. You got Fidel Castro of Cuba. You got the Iranian President. You got Kofi Annan from the United Nations. You got the President of France, United Kingdom, India, Australia, Soviet Union. Well, Mikhail, the former Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev had some high praise. President of Pakistan, they're all praising him. And again, this is not all of them. I just cut the list down a little bit. All the religions, as well as all the political world, are most assuredly praising the papacy today. Whatever they think of Ratzinger at this point doesn't really matter. It's too young in the game to even judge the man's agenda, but their open display of loyalty to the synagogue of Satan is now known in both heaven and earth. Prophecy is fulfilled here. All the world's wondering after the beast. Now, I know that all the quotes I shared are for the previous Pope John Paul II. Thing is, that truly doesn't matter because the papacy is the papacy, no matter who's on the cedar, who's at the helm. Satan's going to use whoever stands there. However, I feel it only fair to all involved to see if there's the same amount of love of sin being embraced via the Ratzinger camp. So I ask, does the world show at least an inkling of the same worship of Ratzinger as they did for the other pope? Well, Zenit organization again, except for now it's on April 23rd, reporting, headline, World Reaction to Papal Election. Speaking of Benedict XVI, Joseph Ratzinger. First, we got just a few religious leaders. I'm not going to show them all again. We got Paul Spiegel, president of the Jew Association in Germany. High praise for the new Ratzinger. You got president of the General Council of Muslims in Germany, Nadim Elias. High praise for this new pope who has nothing to do with the Muslim religion. Lutheran World Federation, again, high praise. Samuel Kobia, General Secretary of the World Council of Churches, high praise to the Pope. Moscow in the United Kingdom. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. Now, these are chief rabbis, by the way, from the United Kingdom, and the Patriarch Alexei, again, the second of Moscow and all Russia. So these aren't even these are the religious leaders. Now, the civil testimonies of the world leaders. You got the president of Germany. You got George W. Bush again, giving wonderful remarks about Ratzinger. You got the United Nations, president of France, the Palestinian leader, United Kingdom. You got Pakistan. You got Russia. You got them all, again praising the Pope, the new one. So yes, it appears if you are poped, you are loved now. The wound is almost completely healed. All the world is wondering after the beast. All that needs to happen now are the disasters that cause the world to look to the Vatican for help. This fabricated and counterfeit moral leader will suggest a way to stop the natural disasters as well as the wars, which, by the way, the Vatican started anyway, by suggesting global Sunday laws, seeing how every nation and every church on earth is now embracing the beast in Rome. They will most assuredly gather to Rome's side, as is reflected in the cartoon that I was talking about in the beginning of the broadcast, where you got they got Ratzinger standing in a big group of sheep, and he's got a cane that's got 10 heads on it, and of course you got that little lamb that's sitting off to the edge with that scared look on his face, and it says gulp above his head. So that's the only error I see in that cartoon. That is an open and obvious error, because we, the remnant of God, will not fear what the future holds. Revelation 14:4 says, "These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb." So, not being defiled with women, of course, not being affected by these strange churches that embrace the Pope, it's not going to get to, besides, 2 Timothy 1:17 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The fallen churches that gather to Rome's side cannot defile or influence the child of God. Main reason being is we follow the Lamb, not the son of perdition. You know, the reason all the churches and all the world leaders gather to Rome is simple. They fear doing otherwise. You know, this is no different than the people that ran forward in those televised events to show praise and respect to Saddam Hussein in his day. They did so hoping never to be murdered by him. It's just like, you know, it's like the old movies you see on TV with the Mafia Don guy walking down the street and they're coming up kissing his ring and stuff like that, because they're not doing it because they love and respect the guy and they want everything, you know, be, you know, hunky-dory and big group hug. No, they fear him. And so they're showing as much as respect as they can to prevent any problems. Now, one last note is needed to be made clear here. As many know, Ratzinger has admitted to being a Nazi soldier, which, by the way, I just was watching the news earlier. I'm waiting for the documentation on this, so this is just hearsay from NBC News. I don't know if I can get some documentation. I'm sure I will. But now that John Paul II is dead, there are some problems coming forward about his connection with Hitler. and it was on the news earlier today before I did the broadcast. So I'm going to get that together and, of course, put it on the website as soon as possible. But as we already know, Ratzinger has already admitted to being a Nazi soldier. Does his present-day theology reflect his Nazi upbringing? You tell me. When asked about liberation theology, which defined as communism and Christianity mixed, Ratzinger said, "The absolute good," and this means building a just socialist society, "becomes the moral norm that justifies everything else, including," listen to this, "if necessary, violence, homicide, and mendacity." That's from Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger in U.S. News and World Report on December 2nd, 1985. It will be in my next newsletter, and I have the online source for it where you can click and just go right to U.S. News and World Report and read it yourself. He said that back in 1985. Mendacity, by the way, in English is lies. So he says it's necessary sometimes for violence, to kill people, and to lie. You know, the truth here is communism is evil no matter how much the New World Order says otherwise. It is the ultimate community over the individual. What's good for the community is what rules the person. If you as a person upset the order, it is better for you to die than the whole community to suffer loss. Now, listen to this quote I'm about to share. It's from The Ominous Parallels by Leonard Peikoff on page 13. But before I finish the quote, I'm going to stop it in the middle, well, towards the end of it, and ask you who you think it is that's speaking here. It says this. It says, "It is thus necessary that the individual should finally come to realize that his own ego is of no importance in comparison with the existence of his nation." That's communism. Okay? "That position of the individual ego is conditioned solely by the interests of the nation as a whole, that above all the unity of a nation's spirit and will are worth far more than the freedom of the spirit and will of an individual." Again, that's communism. Continuing, it says, "This state of mind, which subordinates the interests of the ego to the conversation of the community, is really the first premise for every truly human culture, the basic attitude from which such activity arises. We call to distinguish it from egoism and selfishness idealism." But continuing, it says, "By this we understand only the individual's capacity to make sacrifices for the community, for his fellow man." Okay, let's stop here for a second, but doesn't this sound like what, you know, it's describing communism, of course. But doesn't this sound like John chapter 11, verse 50, where it says, "Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation should perish not?" Jesus was killed so that the nation wouldn't die. Of course, this is their, you know, that too is communism theology. Or communist theology. This is exactly what Ratzinger in this quote is saying. Before sharing who the author of these statements in Peikoff's book that are a direct echo of Ratzinger's communist liberation theology, who do you think made those remarks? Was it John F. Kennedy? Was it Abraham Lincoln or Ronald Reagan, perhaps? Well, finishing the excerpt from page 13 of Leonard Peikoff's book, it says, "These statements were made by Adolf Hitler. He was explaining the moral philosophy of Nazism. These statements were made in our century by the leaders of a major Western nation." You know, it's no mistake, people. John Paul II was elected at an early age so as to be able to gather almost all of the nations to the Rome's side in one pontificate. Thanks to John Paul II's tireless efforts of gathering all countries to Rome's side, as of January 10, 2005, the Vatican now has 174 out of the 192 nations in 100% agreement with her. And now they have God's enforcer, or God's Rottweiler, standing as Pope so as to move to the next step. Keep the faith. That's all you can do. Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon," that of course is Satan, "and out of the mouth of the beast," Roman Catholicism, "and out of the mouth of the false prophet," apostate Protestantism. "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." There's no reason to go out and revolt. There's no reason to go out and picket. There's no reason to go out and try to change what the governments are going to do. You can't stop it. It's prophecy. You'll be fighting against a god, okay? This is something that's going to happen. You can't stop it. All you can do is you get your house ready now. So please, get right with Christ before it's too late. Well, that's about it for this week, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Please try to catch us again next week. And for those that can't, you can also go online at www.remnantofgod.org. You click the main, you click the antique radios on the main page. That'll bring you to the archives of this program. You can listen online, download MP3s, or order CDs for your friends. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries saying until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you for listening, and remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.